Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and we are very happy that you come. And I think this is the time of announcements, and I will be asking Larry what to do and how to speak. So please forgive me. Any announcements? Yes, Elizabeth.
Now, we have somebody. Savannah's going with them. Savannah's going to help with the kids on the go. Be here at 9 o'clock, I believe. Is that right? And the kids are going to the zoo, and many of those kids are attending another church's Bible school closing exercise this morning. They work against us, I guess. No, they don't. But they had their closing exercise this morning, and we send them there with God's blessings. If you will, do the registration books. Who has access to them? Next Sunday. Ella, you want to talk about that? Okay, you do Sunday morning first and then Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning.
Okay. Next Sunday morning,
5th Sunday, next Sunday, we only have one service. It's at 9 o'clock with a good brunch afterward. I assume it's good. It always is. Okay. And no Sunday school next Sunday. No Sunday school. Just 9 o'clock worship and the brunch. Melanie has a Sunday afternoon announcement. And it's kind of a dress-up affair, if you can. Okay. All right. Okay. We will recognize the campers who were gone at the right before the sermon. I think we have some up here, at least two adults, and and at least one youth. And so we will recognize them right before I preach. I don't think there are any other announcements that need to be brought to your attention. We add to your prayer list Mr. Payton's family. David Payton lives right down the street. He passed away. And Larry, do you know when the service is?
I believe it's tomorrow.
I think it is tomorrow, right, at Hickory Chapel. Okay. This is your slot's first time to lead worship, so I will... He may be looking to me, and I'll give him an assistance. Yes.
Please sign the attendance register and pass them to other people in the pew with you. And now it's time for prayers and praises. Any prayers? Any praises?
prayer. One of the young ladies came and shared, and her father, John, they're having a tough time right now. So,
Peyton family, the Sheffield family, Mr. Sheffield passed away. Wednesday was buried yesterday. It was a celebration, though. It really was. Will you affirm that, Mr. Paul? We celebrated. Yeah, one prayer request back there.
Any other prayers, requests? If you have any other prayer requests or praise requests, please write them on the pew card and place them in the offering plate so they can be added to the bulletin next week. We pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for our worship of God. As we prepare for worship, hallelujah, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah. And choir, please, thank you. To worship today, you can find in the hymnal, it's number 509, I believe. I will proclaim the name of the Lord, O praise the greatness of our God.
He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he.
The Lord lives, praise be to my rock, exalted to be God, the rock my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into inheritance that never can perish, spoil or faith, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I believe choir will serve us again.
Please stand, everyone, and join all of us in singing 506, I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel fault He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His love He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell my wondrous story, how my wrongs to say should say. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He filled my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power of death. How the victory He gave over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He filled my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life has brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, take the debt and make me free.
Will you bow your heads as we pray? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving to You and praise to You, Lord. You have redeemed us. Redeemed us from sin and Satan and his dominion. You have called us, Lord, to be a part of Your kingdom. And we come with thanksgiving and appreciation. We come humble that You would care enough. Thank You, Lord, for paying the debt that we owed, for purchasing us with Your blood, letting us be Your people. Lord, we pray that You would so direct us that we can honor and glorify You with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts. And we offer our prayer and even this service in the name of Jesus. And now we come praying that prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing, and we will state our faith through the speaking together the Apostles' Creed, and remain standing as we sing the Gloria.
I believe in God
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
You may be seated.
Call to confessing our sin. Sin comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. And confessing together, righteous
God,
you have
crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all.
We confess
that we have not bowed before Him and are slow to acknowledge His rule. We give allegiance to the powers of this world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us. Raise us to acclaim Him as ruler over all, that may we be loyal ambassadors, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And continue in silence confessing. Amen. Assurance of forgiveness comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And choir, please.
This is our We Are Learning song. Some of you may know this. I think it's an old song.
It's a good funeral song.
Okay.
It really is.
We'll keep that in mind. Can you play it three, four times? Thank you.
The sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun. First falling in this, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done.
for special music, and Kim and Julie.
It's Julie on.
I chose this song for a couple of reasons. Jerry brought us a big sack full of gospel music last Sunday to choir practice, and it had a book in there, Tennessee Ernie Ford's favorites, and I immediately grabbed it because I've always loved him. My dad loved him. And when I was a kid, whenever we went anywhere on a trip, we never turned the radio on in our car because we sang all the way from the time we left home until we got to our destination. And we sang everything from Broadway show music to spirituals to hymns, just Girl Scout songs, all kinds of stuff. And one of our favorites that we did was Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. So that's what I'm going to sing for you today. The other reason I'm singing it is I have many very special memories about my mother's father. And one of the most, well, really the most precious memory is that my mother was with Papa T when he died, and she was in the hospital room with him. And she said he kept asking her to open the door, and he was pointing across the room, and there was no door on the wall where he was pointing. And he was getting real frustrated with it. He said, "Ellen, open the door." She said, "Daddy, there's no door there." He said, "Yes, there is." He said, "You have to open the door and let the angels in." Mama walked over, pretended like she was opening the door, and he looked up and smiled, and he said, "Here come the angels." And then he passed on. So that's what this song means to me. And that was so wonderful that my mom was able to be there for that, because, I mean, we knew that he was going to be with the angels, but to actually witness it like that is indescribable.
Children's time. Mary Jo Bryan will lead us and lead the kids.
Good morning.
Thank you.
The offertory sentence comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Ushers, please come forward.
By our love in Him, O Lord.
Christians by our love.
We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand.
We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And we'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All the praise to the Father. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Our scripture lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 2, from 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised, but by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of man. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank you.
We schedule one more song, and it kind of supports the sermon. Whosoever will, it's an insert on the back of your sermon outline. Julie, if you'll come and lead us there. John 3:16, or... Oh, my God. Thank you.
sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the news of the news wherever they land. Who's the Lord?
If those who were on the mission trip this week will come and stand with us and tell us a thing or two. We had five or six up here this morning at the 8 o'clock service, and if you will tell us about what you did.
Travis, you want to tell us something? Speak into the mic,
I will. I will. This was my first mission trip. We went to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. It was really nice. Learned a lot of things, not just about the Indians. I didn't have too much interaction. That was more of a VBS with Kelly. And but it was real nice. Tracy pushed a lot of us, and you know, it's a really different experience. And if you can go, come next year or next time, whatever. Thank you.
Kelly did. You did about Bible school. Repeated what we did here. Tell us a word about that.
VBS is truly a blessing. I just want to say I was real proud of Travis this week, and he spoke publicly our last service and touched everyone's hearts and wrote a poem for us. And so I just want to say thanks. And yeah, you know Tracy pushed him hard, but his award was we can't quit because it's not finished. So it's the end of the trip. Vacation Bible School is such a blessing. We have Vacation Bible School here, and it's a blessing. But, man, when you go into a community where there's such a lack of God in the day-to-day life of these children primarily were Indian children, lots of mixed. There's a lot of mix. There's Randy and his wife Betty are both like full-blooded Choctaw Indian, and you see that being changed in this new generation of children. There's lots of mix that saw that complete Choctaw bloodline as being disappearing. But all Choctaw, all Indian, and you know, I tell you, one of the biggest blessings that we had. Number one, I just fell in love with their beautiful faces. And they came there not knowing what to expect. I don't know that they experienced. You know, we do Vacation Bible School with Gusto, and I don't know that they had experienced it on like that before. And they kind of looked at us the first day. It was wild. We had no idea what to expect. But we had a group of 16, 17, 18 and 19 year olds show up. And they were there for Vacation Bible School. We didn't know what to do, but we each said, come on, and we'll figure it out. And not only did they come, but some of them had to bring their children. We had a 16-year-old girl that had to bring her 1.5-year-old infant to Bible school with her. We had a 19-year-old young man who came all 4 days. They brought his... Well, no, the girl, she had a 6-month-old. This young man had a 1.5-year-old that was his nephew, as it turned out, who he had been placed in custody... This child had been placed in his custody because both parents are in prison. We found out throughout the week that these children, many, don't have electricity in their home, don't have running water in their home, don't have parents in their homes. He told us, and Pam was challenged. Man, these older kids, they challenged us and blessed us. Not only did they come to Vacation Bible School, but they came with a really bad attitude. And they came to beat us down. And they came to show us, I don't know what they came to show us, but they didn't come to show us love, and they didn't come to get anything out of it. And it frustrated some of our youth that were there working with me. And I said, y'all, they said, you know, they don't appreciate it. I can't believe, you know, they don't want us here. They don't, you know, what's their deal? And I said, you know, it's not your job to question. You know, you can't even begin to imagine what these people face on a day-to-day in their lives with all that we have. And I said, it's only our job to come and love them as children of Christ. And we are to overlook those attitudes, you know what? And we just kept plugging at them. We just ignored their stinking attitudes. I'm not kidding you guys. It was amazing. We just overcame that. And we just acted. We didn't let that affect us. We really had to encourage our youth to not let that affect them. And we talked about that we are here to love y'all. Y'all are our sisters and our brothers in Christ, and we love you just because of that. And we just stayed on them, and you know, I was in charge, and I had to get on to them a couple of times, and I had to come a couple of times. We grouped them together, and I had to get on them, but you know what? I got in their faces, because I don't have a problem doing that. And I don't, you know, and they gave me grief, and guess I gave it right back to them. And you know what? They came to really like me for that. They thought it was kind of funny. They got a kick out of that. And the fact that I didn't give up on them, and I didn't let them save me. And I would tell them, I don't want to have to say it again, guys. And I'm not kidding. And they'd be like, okay. And I didn't have to say it again. And I had one girl. Her name was Little Thunder. She would never tell me. That was her Choctaw name, and that's what she went by. And that's what she registered by. She didn't want me to touch her. And she was a big girl. Gosh, she was intimidating. She could have hurt me. And a couple of them, you know, they weren't like little petite little people that we were, like I was the adult and they were the kids. These were people that could have just stomped me in the ground and probably would have under the right circumstances. But you know what? I gave her space. I messed with her, messed with her, messed with her. And broke her down over that week. And I guess we kind of proved to them we did love them. And they began to see that. I found, and I don't have a voice because we sang and we did Viva and we did so much, but my focus, I mean, the little ones, they're there and they're enjoying themselves and they're singing those songs, but my focus during my time to talk became focused on those young adults. Man, and we just really try to give them hope. And this, they don't have, y'all, they don't have hope. And we try to share with them that they have hope in Christ. And, you know, I think through the week they began to see. I could see it in their faces, and I could see them start to pay attention. And I could see them soften, and I could see them be thoughtful. I could see their minds work up, and I could see their mouths move to our silly little song that they considered so silly. And I would see them start to do those little hand motions right here. They didn't do it big like we did, but they'd stand out there and they'd do it. And at the end of the week, as we were closing in our closing songs, I moved around a lot. I had all my girls up front. I was so proud of them. They just sang, and they were so big and did such a good job. And as I lost my voice, I became more and more dependent on them. And so I kind of moved around through the pews, and I went to the back, and I hugged all those big kids. And I told them, I gave them personally, wanted to just touch them, hug them. And we tried to do that throughout the week. But I just, and you know what? They let me. They let me come. They saw me coming. And they, but they, when I got to them, you know what? They just let me take them in my arms, and they gave back. And they let me kiss them. And when I got to Little Thunder, she looked at me like she could smack me. And I said, I really just want to give you a hug. Because I do love you. And she let me hug her, and she let me give her a kiss. And Tracy, I've done some mission work, and I'll tell you guys, this was huge. It was so filled with God's presence for the children that went, for the children from the churches that went. Man, I saw their lives being touched, and the children that came to the BBS, and the workers in the church, and then the adults as well. It was an amazing trip. We could stand here and tell you so much about it, but you know, I can't. It's such a wonderful experience. It's such a wonderful blessing. You know, all of you know, that even if just one life was touched this past week, or one person came to know Christ or will come to know Christ through what went on last week, everything was worth it. It was hot. It was 115 degrees, 108 degrees. And the fire ant ate us alive. Ate us alive from the minute we got there to the minute we left. And we lived among the grossest spiders. We slept with spiders. We had cicadas in our hair. We had snakes. We told there were scorpions. We didn't see any. We never even mentioned it to kids. As they left their clothes piled knee deep on the floor, I'm like, all I said to them was, I really think you ought to shake your clothes out before you put them on and maybe check your sheets before you get in your bed. But why, Miss Kelly? I'm like, just trust me on this. And you know, after that, they started picking up their clothes and folding them and putting them back in their suitcases. But y'all, it was wonderful. It was such a wonderful blessing. I was blessed. I was touched. The counselors, we all decided God was really talking to us those last couple of days. He was talking to us separately, but the topics were the same. And when we came together as a group and started kind of talking about what we thought God was saying to us, He was saying the same thing to each one of us. Not in a group, but separate. And we figured that out when we got together. And He was just ever present, and it was a wonderful trip. And I would just encourage you to think about it, do it sometime, send your children. Tracy and I don't even have a teenager. We don't even have a dog in that fight. Let me tell you. Sometimes I question why I bother. But I know why God revealed this week. I almost didn't go because of some things that happened. Because teenagers challenge you. I know. Larry told me, shut up. So, anyway, it's a blessing. He's got a preach, blah, blah, blah. Love y'all, and love that.
I said, let Tracy speak.
He talks too much.
Yeah, I'm mad about that, too. Amen. This was my first youth mission trip, and Susan asked me to lead the work groups. And I was really nervous about that because I'm real task-driven. I'm like, you work till you get it done, and you don't stop until you drop. And Kelly was nervous about me going with these kids because she's like, you're not going to be able to be like treat them like you would a normal construction work group. I said, well, I'll push them as hard as I think I can. And I did. And there was John and Paul are not in here now, but I really wanted to give them praise because they stayed with me step for step. And if anybody's ever worked with me, you know that's not easy to do. And
John, Paul, and Paul, Tucker.
Yes, they absolutely, those boys work. I don't think they'll ever look at me the same. But the kids were all great. Everybody worked real hard. We accomplished. In 3 days, we moved mountains. It was amazing to me the work that we got done. The kids were absolutely outstanding. I never thought that they would take to me the way they did. Because there was a couple of young ladies that had drawn opinions. They drew opinions about me before we got started, and I said, well, you're probably not far off. But by the end, every time I turned around, those two girls were standing by my side and was hugging my neck or, you know, doing something. They were with me the whole week, pretty much, step for step. They were, when I wasn't working, those two girls were by my side. And we had a Thursday night service. And last night we were there, and we had worship every night. And it was every night there was something that come out of that service that I was supposed to hear, because, like Kelly said, we had come to the conclusion we were not going. We didn't have teenagers. This was not our battle, and we were fighting a battle that we didn't think we were supposed to, but God said, yes, you are. And we went. And there was a young lady there that was the whole reason I went. God put me there to be there for that young lady. And I spoke Thursday night at our service, and I don't do that. I got up with the sole intention just to thank our work group for, you know, thank everybody for how hard they worked. I talked for about 10, 15 minutes. And when I was done, everybody kept thanking me for what I'd said, and I was like, well, I wish you would tell me, because I had no idea what I'd just said. The Holy Spirit was absolutely, the room was flooded with it. There was some, we were in there for 3 hours before I realized it. We started at 8 o'clock. I looked down my watch, it was 10:30, and had no clue of the time. But it was absolutely one of the most spiritually uplifting things I've ever done in my life. It was my first mission trip with youth, but it will not be my last. I encourage anybody that's questioning where they are in their journey to hang around some kids and take a look at their faces. And that's all I got to say about it.
Thank you, all of you. There were 70 on the group. 70 people, two preachers at least. Three preachers, and just a good group. In the process. Ministry? Yeah. And Tommy Job, our neighbor here, John at Mount Carmel, and Buddy Pope from Richland Church. Okay. Let's talk about unity. There is a division throughout the world. I grew up in a divided community. I bet you did too. If you didn't think about it, you did anyway. What kind of community did you grow up in? They went and participated in a divided community. It was us and them. They worked together to bring about unity. Another group is going this coming week. Is that right? Or getting there today or next week, real 2 weeks from now, and hopefully they won't have the difficulties that they have. There haven't been many years in my lifetime where we haven't had divisions in the world. I remember a little bit about the talk about World War II. We studied that in history, so you remember, some of you remember World War II, what a division it was. What? The Allies and the Axis powers. Shortly after that, there was the Korean conflict or Korean police action. And then we had, somewhere along the way, we entered into a Cold War with Russia. Went on to the early 60s, and the United States, at least, got into the Vietnam conflict. And after the early 70s, there was still a Cold War going on. The 80s, what was it? Cold War, Bosnia, etc., etc., some of the Ukrainian countries. Then we had, in the early 90s, we had Desert Storm. And then we had blowing up of buildings and blowing up of ships and blowing up of whatever else. And then it was a war with Afghanistan. And then it was a war with Iraq. And now we don't know where it's going in the next few days. We live in a world that is anything but living in unity. The place I grew up in, we were divided by the us's and the them's. We were divided by the landowners and the sharecroppers. We were divided by even the fifth grade class. We divided. And we had our fifth grade class and their fifth grade class. And one time, our fifth grade class determined that we was going to take over the playground of the other fifth grade class. We had little sections of the playground. So it was us against them. It was Caledonia against New Hope, two county schools. And then it was the country boys against the city boys. And we knew where our hangout was when we went to the big city. And those city boys knew that we wasn't supposed to hang out at theirs. And we dared not stop at Bob's place. We went on about 50 yards further and stopped at the coffee cup. And they didn't like us country boys being with the city boys, and we didn't like those city boys being down at the coffee cup either. So it was us and them. There was limited unity. Also, it was Alabama guys and Mississippi guys, or it was Lowndes County guys and Monroe County guys. There was disunity that I grew up in, and I'm guessing that you did too. It was the town folks against the city folks, etc., etc., etc. Jesus warned that even because of Him, He came as the Prince of Peace. But because of Him, He warned that there would be divisions. Although He came as the Prince of Peace. And I think I put on, it's on the back of the Whosoever Will insert, I put the scripture passage. It's from Luke chapter 21. Begins, I believe, in verse 12. He talks of the divisions that would come because of Him. And we even hear today, hear much about the divisions that come because of people who trust in Christ as their Savior. Families are divided. In some communities, if a member of that community marries into a Christian family, sometimes they will have a funeral for that person, not because they died physically, but that they got out of their family, and it's they want to look at them like they were dead. There were divisions during Jesus' day when He was upon earth in bodily form. Hopefully, in some people's lives at least, this is still Jesus' day. Jesus is ruling. But when He was up on the earth in bodily form, there were many divisions in the world, but there were divisions because of Him, even those who would follow Him and those who would not follow Him. But even before Jesus was born, there was a division between the Jews and the non-Jews, or the Jews and the Gentiles. People in Israel, descendants of Abraham, were over here, at least the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob's descendants, they were in one group. Everybody else was in another group. There were those people who followed Jesus after Jesus was born and began His ministry, and those who would not follow Jesus and were really torn up for anybody who would. In the early church, the first century church, after Jesus had died and buried and rose and ascended to heaven, sent His Holy Spirit back, and the church was really grouped together on the day of Pentecost, but there were still divisions in the church, or a lack of unity between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians, but also between the Jewish world and the Christian world. Even among the Christians, even among the church members, and sometimes in the same church, there was divisions, and there still is. We look at the different denominations, even in this small community, but drive through Nashville and see all of the various denominations. And it's my understanding of what Jesus came to do and what Paul teaches us, the Apostle Paul,
It is my understanding that these divisions were not Jesus' intent. He just knew they were going to happen. And they were not God the Father's intent. My understanding of what the Bible says is that God calls His people to live in unity. Or it is God's will, or it is God's desire that His people be at peace with one another. The question is, can it ever happen? And we look at the Middle East right now, we will wonder if it can ever happen, but we look other places, we don't have to look that far to see if it will ever happen. The Apostle Paul, this great servant of Jesus Christ, though once he worked for the division and to keep them going and to kill anyone that was, or do his part to kill anyone who was a follower of Jesus Christ, after his Damascus Road experience, he became a dedicated worker to do away with the divisions and bring about unity among the people, especially the people who were following Christ. Unity among God's people, and especially those who had become believers in Jesus. Those who formed what we would call today the New Testament church, or the first century church, because we're still a New Testament church even today. And that's what this scripture lesson is about. And if you'll follow under the lesson, we see in the first three verses, Paul explains to the Gentiles, he was writing to a Gentile congregation, the Ephesians. They were non-Jews who had heard the gospel of Jesus. They had believed in Jesus as their Savior. They had formed themselves into the church. And now he is writing to them because there is some division among them. And he writes to this church of people who were Gentiles by birth. And the Jewish people who were Christians, who became Christians, who trusted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, the promised Messiah, they had been circumcised. So they looked down upon those Gentiles who came into the New Testament church without the benefit of circumcision. So they would look at them and they would say, "This people over here, they're the uncircumcised, and we don't associate with them." And it got real bad in the Galatian community, or in Galatia. And Paul says they were Gentiles by birth. They were called the uncircumcised by the circumcised. They were separated from Christ. They were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They were foreigners to the covenant of the promise that goes back to Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis, but was repeated throughout Abraham's life, and then repeated to Isaac, and then repeated to Jacob also, and on down through the years, even to David. They were without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 speaks of these Gentiles, before they became Christians, as being far away from God. And I look at that and I say, I read that, those three verses, and I say, not a very good circumstance to be separated from the God of creation, to be a cast out or an outcast, not welcome among God's people, not welcome in the temple of God except in the outermost court. They were one of them. They were not of the elite group. They, being the outcast, these Gentiles, somewhere along the way, they met Jesus. They trusted Him to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who had come to take away their sins. They became Christians. They were some of those whosoever will may come. They were some of the whosoever. And they had trusted in Christ, or believed in Christ, for their salvation. And through Christ and His sacrificial blood on the cross, His death on Calvary, the Scriptures say, Paul says, they were brought near. Brought near through the blood of Christ. Near to God. I think of a song, "Near to the Heart of God." The door had been opened. The barriers had been torn down. the veil in the temple at the crucifixion, you remember. If you read the crucifixion story, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Everybody was welcome. That symbolized everybody being welcome. Even the Holy of Holies and being able to approach God in a personal way. Through Jesus Christ, those who had been far away were brought near, not only them, but you and I also. Verse 14 speaks of Jesus being our peace. There was enmity, or there was animosity, or there was fighting between, a sense of fighting between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. But Jesus is our peace. Two parties. They had been separated. They had been balancing against each other, or contending against each other. But Paul says through Jesus Christ, the two have been made one. A totally new being. The two became one, verse 14 and 15 says. Not Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, but Christians. Christians in the church. One new people. One new people made out of two. But friends, as you look at the community, the church community today, you would not know that we had ever been brought together with its many divisions. But even with its divisions, even with our separate places of worship, some have called Sunday morning at 10 or 11 o'clock the most segregated hour of the week. Does it always have to be an us and them? Can it not be? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. Paul says it's not still two separate groups in Christ, but we're one new group. Not another like the old group, but new in the sense of the two living in unity. So we don't have to have the same kind of music or the same style of worship, but we can respect one another and we can encourage one another in the way that they do it. Jesus. We don't want to forget Jesus. Jesus, by the shedding of His blood, that blood on the cross, put the animosity or the enmity between two groups to death. Verse 16. I think the passage that you have before you, the NIV version, says the hostility between the circumcision party and the uncircumcised party. They put to death that hostility. And through Jesus, we all have access to the Father. It's a whosoever will gospel. It's whosoever will may come in Christ. Jesus the Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We are a building of God with the various aspects of it together. The call, as I see it, as I understand it, as I've tried to live it, is a call to unity. You've heard the story of the circle. I guess you have. Let me tell it again. They drew a circle and left me out. Drew me out. But I drew a circle and took them in. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. In the third chapter, verse 28, he talks about the Christians and they were fighting. Did they have to be circumcised before they could be members of the church and before they could get to heaven? And Paul says, no, no, no. You get to heaven on your faith in Jesus and what He did, not a mark upon your body. And he says, in Christ, in Jesus the Christ, we are neither Jew nor Greek or Jew or Gentile. We are neither slaves nor free. We're neither Indian or white folk, pale face, whatever they want to call us. We're neither male nor female, but we're all one. We're united in Jesus Christ. Now, how does this lesson relate to us today? I can say it encourages us, don't participate in the divisions, but live in unity with all fellow Christians. You know, we have so many opportunities to choose sides. We have opportunities to choose sides in our local community. We have opportunities to choose sides in our elections, in our county. We have opportunities to choose sides in our state. We have opportunities to choose sides in the church. But folks, we need to just know, just simply know and be reminded of it, that we are working with all other Christians, or we better be. We are working with all other Christians to redeem the world. Redeem the world from sin. Redeem the world for Christ and His kingdom. So folks, can we keep drawing larger circles? Don't let them leave us out. Keep reaching out and fellowshipping together, ministering together, and living in unity. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, this might not make any sense at all to you. If you're not a believer, if you have not been one who has, or have not become one who has claimed the gift of God, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, if you have not claimed the salvation provided by Jesus on Calvary, I extend to you the opportunity and the invitation to trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Come near to God through your trust or your faith in Jesus. You may have a public response to make. It may be to trust Jesus and to affirm that publicly. I'm expressing my faith and trust in Jesus publicly. It may be something to do with living at peace with your fellow man and living in unity with all those other denominations or Christian groups around the world. But then your response may be just a private matter between you and God. And that's the first step. So I want us to stand together and sing 281. 281.
We are one in the bond of love. And know that. And live. 281.